So next speaker is now Vincent Ariel from Chinoé Software in Paris. He will talk to us about his population library and all the software he's been developing for this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I am Vincent Ariel from Chinoé Software, and today I will present you my library population. So what is the story of this library? So it's during my PhD I have to design a numerical process to analyze semen past, and during this process I have to segment to characterize this tomography image. So at the beginning of 2005 I tried to find a nice library for material science, and actually I didn't find a library in 64 byte to analyze a large volume of data. So I decided to design and implement my own main library. So I designed three versions of this library. The first one was in C, the second one in low-level generic programming, and the last one in high-level generic programming. And today, the aim of my speak is not to do an overview of my library, but more the thinking of this library. What are really the thinking of this library? So typically, when you have a program is data plus algorithm. And traditionally, you implement an algorithm for a specific kind of data structure. And every time you want to, if you have different kind of data structure, you have to re-implement your algorithm for each data structure. And the thinking in generic programming is to say, now you will work for whatever the data structure having some property, I can process something for some property for a collection of data structure. And these properties, you generalize us in terms of concept. So today I will present you two concepts, function and iterator concept, and after I present some algorithms that I can implement with this concept. So I will progressively increase the abstraction until to arrive to the function concept. So at the beginning, an image can be a 2D regular grid image with one byte pixel. So typically, that is this image at the left. So here it's a grid value representation. It's a grid level representation. Here is a famous Lena image. So mathematically speaking, this image, the structure of this image is this function. So it's a mapping for a domain of Z2 to this range of Heidegger. So if you want to implement this kind of data structure, you have a data structure like that. So you have your domain. So your domain is a pair of Heidegger defining the number of rows and the number of columns. You have a vector of vector to store the information. You have an operator here to access to the pixel value. And you have a constructor. So I can define now, I can use this data structure a little bit like that. So here I construct an image of size 5.5 and I affect the pixel 2.2 with the value 120. So now go further to the abstraction. So an image here, during my PhD, I have to try 2D image, 3D image. Sometimes the pixel tip was not anymore 1 byte, but 2 byte, 3 byte, 4 byte, float, and also sometimes some vectorial type. So now, what mathematically speaking, what is the structure of this different kind of image? The structure of this image is a mapping from a domain of Z power D to the pixel type. So in this function, you have two free parameters. You have the dimension and the pixel and voxel type. So if you convert that in terms, if you do the equivalent data structure in terms of programming, you have two template parameters. You have the dimension here with the parameter integer D, and you have the pixel of voxel type, tip name type. And now you can do exactly the same things like previously, but now the domain is not anymore two integer, but it's a point defined by D integer. You can store your pixel type, and you have an accessor with this operator to access to the pixel value. And here I just said that my previous data structure is just a specific case of the general data structure, of the generic data structure. And you can do exactly something like that. You have your image, you load that means the Lena color image, and here I just display the pixel value at the location 5.5. And now, if you want to go in further in the abstraction, here I don't show, but it's a graph. It's a topological graph of my original data structure. So the graph is also a function. Sometimes also I use some function coming from OpenCV. So I have the OpenCV data structure, and with the OpenCV data structure, I want to call my algorithm with this data structure. So what is the general definition of this of a function? So the general definition of function is typically a mapping from the space I to the space F. And now I want to define a concept for the general data, mathematical formula. So general concept, it's like a pattern. Anyway, it's this pattern. So you have a set of properties, and these properties, in terms of programming, you call that some requirement. And you have a tip depth requirement, and also some associated and some valid expression. And if you want to implement this pattern, to say, if you want to have a model of this concept, you have to implement the different requirements. So here, typically, you have to define your domains, your space I, your space F, and to have to access to the pixel with this operator, and so on, and so on. So you have the function concept, but with some function concept, you cannot do many things. So now you need another mathematical object is for all x belonging to the domain, or for all x belonging to a region of interest of this domain, or for all x belonging to a neighborhood of this domain. So if your space I is a topological space. And exactly like for the function concept, you define a general concept, and after, you can implement some model of this concept, and you can encapsulate the definition of this concept like that. And to give you an idea of what you can do, I will just present you the Erosion filter. So it's very classic. So like previously at the level zero, so that is the definition of the erosion of the top of this slide. And here you see you have two iterations. You have a global iteration. So it's defined by the iterator total, and you have a local iteration defined by the neighborhood of this pixel. So first, I do a global iteration, and after, I do a local iteration. But now, I want to free the function, because I just call this algorithm with my data structure. And I want to call this algorithm with any model respecting the requirement of the function concept. So I can define an algorithm like that. And here, you can call this algorithm with any model respecting the pattern of the function concept. So it's a little bit the same. And now you can go further, because here, I mean, to define the neighborhood, I associate a neighborhood with a ball. So to define a ball, I use a metric, I use a norm and radius. And so I imply that my topological space is also a metric space. But it's not necessary. You can have a topological space that is not a metric space. So if you want to free, really mathematically speaking, but after that is an implication in programming, you will have some template parameter to define what is your iterator global and your iterator local. And now you want to free another things. You want to free, I do some calculation in the neighborhood of each point, and here I present just here what is the region. But it can be many things, it can be another things, it can be also like accumulation. So for the accumulation, it can be the max, the mean, the median value, convolution, or something more tricky. And in this setting, you can define many things like that. I mean, you can associate every time an algorithm something like that, and with the functor. So here it's to generate some random number. So the functor here is the generator that generates a random number or constant value, and so on and so on. And now I will present a second kind of algorithm. So this algorithm is a formalist of the region growing algorithm. So I formalize, mathematically speaking, what is the region growing. So what is the region growing algorithm? Typically, you have some seed, and you initialize your region with this seed. And after, you operate a region growing starting from this seed. And this region growing is controlled by a metric. So the most famous region growing algorithm is the watershed transformation. So like I said, you have the topographic surface, so that is the amplitude of your gradient, of your image gradient. You have some seed. So you initialize with the first line, second line, you initialize each region with the seed. And after, you operate the immersion of your topographic surface, starting from the lowest level to the highest level. And every time, you select a pair to do the aggregation. And so this pair has to respect two conditions. The first condition is a metric. That means the pixel value is under the level of immersion. So that is this condition, max L f de x est égal à L. And the second condition is you do some aggregation. That means the pixel must be on the neighborhood of the region. So that means on the outer boundary of the region, in excluded the other region. And the mathematical object for to define that, I define that with the zone of influence. So the algorithm, if you process this algorithm, you have something like that. Here you have the seed, you initialize the region with the seed, and after you operate your region growing. And you obtain this last, you have the bassin, red bassin and blue bassin. And exactly like previously when I speak about function concept, I do exactly the same thing, but in terms of concept with this object. I mean, I have the zone influence is the first object. I have a metric is the second concept. And also I have to store all the pixels respecting the both conditions. So I use a concept of system of container and so on and so on. And with this concept, I can define the watershed transformation in the same number of lines. I mean, it's you see, like you have the seed initialization, so you operate the grow, and after you do the immersion. So it's quite similar. And what is the advantage of this algorithm? The first advantage is the optimization. It's a very efficient algorithm. The second advantage is if you respect the function concept requirement, you can call this algorithm with your own data structure. And second advantage, that's all. And it's very fast to implement an algorithm like that. So with this formalism, I implement some classic algorithm. So it's not fabulous, but it's quite that gives very efficient algorithm. And I implement with this formalism some new algorithms. So it's not new algorithm, but in region growing, I implement quasi Euclidean distance in quasi linear time. And also, I have a problem here. I have to do some grand partition. And if you use the algorithm of Luc-Vincent with based on the watershed transformation on the opposite distance function, you have some artifact at the contact of the grain. You have some irregularity, and the orientation of this contact are not well, because the direction is not is discrete. I mean, you get some discrete direction. So I regularize this grain partition using a phase field using the Alencan equation to obtain some minimal surface. And you see at the end, if you see the grain contact, they are well located. And also, I use that also to... I don't have time, so I will jump this part. To reconstruct a 3D image based on a 2D image. And now I will come back to the another point. By programming, I mean, you design some program, and after you compose this program between each other. I mean, if you want to have a numerical process, it's not a monolithic algorithm. You have to compose at the end the different algorithms to find a numerical, to define your numerical process. And so, in terms of the view, you address the problem of complexity. And me, I have a PhD in physics, and when you speak about complexity, every time you speak about scale, at which scale does it work? I work at micro scale or at macro and macro scale. And from my point of view, at micro scale, the nice paradigm of programmation is imperative because you need some precision. I want to affect this pixel with this value. I want to do an iteration. So it's an imperative paradigm of programmation. But at the macro scale, the more important is how you compose your algorithm between each other. I mean, if you use some Python, generally you use some Python, but you say, I call the region, after I call the watershed, and so on, and so on. So the paradigm at this scale is a functional paradigm. And here, with Olivier Cunion-Sivricourt, you design a new language with a new grammar based on the extensions of the P3.NET, and you design an editor for this language with a virtual machine. And here I just show you a composition done with this editor. And what we aim with this project, in terms of image processing, but it's more large than image processing, is to say everybody has designed his own library and address a different field. And maybe, for example, population is more dedicated to material science. And some libraries are more dedicated to other fields. But it will be perfect if you can use all this library in the shared environment. And that is the aim of your project, is to use all the library in the shared environment. So, to summarize the idea of my speak, with function concept, you spend more time with your pencil. I mean, it's more mathematical thinking. You have to define what is the property of your data structure, what can I do with this property, so you spend more time with a pencil with your keyboard. So I write a book for my library. It will be soon available on the website. And with the integration of Chameleon, you democratize the application of your library, because at this level, it's not only some expert of programming can use your library. It's quite very easy to use a library like that, because it's just with drag and drop, you can display, you can do many things. And I mean, if you want to only use library in your lab, I think perhaps I don't advise you to use something like that. But if you want to democratize your library, it's very nice to use this library, this language. And with EPOL, I advise you to publish in EPOL. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. Do we have some questions now? There are a few extra minutes here. Yes.
You have an iterator for the neighborhood, yes?
Sorry?
You have two kind of iterators.
I have many kind of iteration. I define a general concept of the iteration, and after you can define, you call that refinement of this concept. So this can be total iterator, it can be neighborhood, it can be region of interest, or whatever. I mean, it's a general concept. I define some requirement for this concept, but if you are free after to implement your own model of this concept.
Yes, I mean, my question is, do you optimize this neighborhood iteration?
Yes, that is completely, because you are... Actually, you can call the algorithm. That is nice with template parameter. You can call the algorithm with your optimized iteration. I mean, if you want to do some optimization, you can implement a model, an optimized model for this kind of algorithm. But actually, it's quite already very fast. From SCAMI, I have no problem for speed.
The question is maybe you cannot really, if the iterator is very general, you cannot optimize it in the same way as a very special one, no? It will never be that fast as a simpler one, which is special one, and so maybe this is the question.
That's my question. And how you deal with this, or it's not important, maybe?
I think it's important because I tried some image. The typical size of this image is 4 gigabytes of voxel, and actually the more longer is not to do an erosion or deletion, the more longer is to implement the watershed transformation. And for instance, for the watershed transformation, you need to have the localization of each pixel, because after you take the neighborhood of this pixel and you need the localization. And I think you can do some optimization as you wish after. But if you want to do some optimization, perhaps you have to rewrite that correct, perhaps you have to rewrite that, I don't know.
Thank you. Maybe you can extend the discussion after drinking the coffee. We have to switch to the next speaker, so thank you very much, Vincent.